from recess for public hearings?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second.
Yes.
Mrs. Deaver, any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
To Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We are going to go over the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings, and when the council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today is conditional use number 1967, Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for a wastewater treatment plant to treat off-site waste to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on parcels containing 10.26 acres more or less and lying south of Road 283, also referred to as Cedar Grove Road, and also being east of Road 277, also referred to as Robinsonville Road, and being more specifically identified on the tax maps as being tax map ID District 334, map 11, parcels 83 and 83.04. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 8th of 2013. During that process, the record shows that the commission did receive an exhibit booklet on July 30th of 2013 for consideration from the applicant. The council has before it that same document for their consideration. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department on dated August 7th of 2013, making reference to this application. And I will note there is a correction on one of my report. On item number four, should read wastewater service to the Coastal Club through this conditional use shall be limited only to those homes located in phase one, totaling 156 EDUs and amenities, and that is not to exceed 163 units, or 63 EDUs. I typed 153. We heard comments from Gerard Esposito, President of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated, Dennis Schrader Esquire with Morris James Wilson Howbrook and Byard LLP, and Rich Polk, a professional engineer with Vista Design Incorporated, all giving testimony on behalf of the applicants. Chase Brockstead Esquire was present in support of the application on behalf of the sellers. Preston Shell was present on behalf of the contract purchaser and gave testimony. Bill Badala, Vice President of the Retreat HOA, was present, not in opposition, but expressing some concerns about capacity. There were responses made to Mr. Badala's concerns. There were no parties present in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. There seemed to be a consensus of the commission that there may be process issues between the Public Service Commission and private versus public services, and questioning if they are really ready and willing to serve, questioning if the CPCNs can be voided if not used, and that it appears that there is no expiration to a CPCN. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 5-0, and the commission has not met since that date to be able to act on this application. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Are there any questions from council? If not, Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Councilmember Deaver, members of the council, my name is Dennis Schrader. I am representing Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. In conditional use application number 1967, which is a conditional use for wastewater treatment at the retreat on Love Creek. I have with me Jerry Esposito, whom I believe you all know, who is Vice President of Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc. I also have with me Mr. Plitko, who is a professional engineer from Vista Design, who will describe the technical parts that go into this application as it relates to the transmission and collection line for the Coastal Club. The application is filed to take the currently existing wastewater treatment plant at the retreat of Love Creek and to extend service from that location to cover the Coastal Club Phase 1. This is not an expansion of the wastewater treatment plant at the retreat of Love Creek. It is simply an extension of the collection and transmission line. Wastewater would be collected at Coastal Club, and after it has been collected at Coastal Club, it would be taken to the retreat for treatment and disposal. This regionalization, if you will, of the wastewater treatment plant is authorized if you agree to it under conditional use section 115-31 for public utilities, buildings, treatment plants, and disposal sites within the land use code of the county. There is a disposal site of 9.89 acres involved in this application and a treatment facility site of 0.37 acres. We have submitted, and you will have the opportunity to review at your convenience, the exhibits, which include the conditional use application, the proposed pumpstation site, wastewater treatment plant site plans, the agreements to serve the retreat, capacity studies, the CPCN, there's quite an array of things. The cost of connection, scheduled construction, what have you, and all of that will be described by Mr. Esposito in his presentation. So at this point in time, I would like to turn the floor over to Jerry, who will give you the bird's eye view from the applicant's point of view.
Thank you, Mr. Trader. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Gerard Esposito. I'm the president of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated and its three other affiliated companies. I've been with Tidewater for a little over 15 years, and I'm here today to testify on behalf of this application, on behalf of our affiliated companies. I will go through about five or six general topics and give you some detail, and obviously I'm available for questions when I'm done. First of all, I want to talk about the proposed service area at the Coastal Club. We have a map that maybe now is a good time for Rob to show.
afternoon. My name is Robert Lipko. I'm a civil engineering project manager with this company. I'm a professional engineer since 2005. Our company has worked on the Coastal Club pumping station, and we have designed a centrally located pump station here for phase one, plus the ultimate build out as well. But the phase one pumping station will pump through Coastal Club property out to Sussex County right away and into the retreat discharge manhole. And that will serve the phase one. This force main will be a 6-inch force main, approximately 9,800 feet. At the time that phase one is complete, we've also have designed the phase two force main, which will be 8-inch, about 16,000 feet, and that will connect into a future facility. We're in the final process of having our plans approved, so pump station approved, force main will be approved. Just need the final discharge.
Thank you, Mr. Pitko. Again, we can come back to that map. It's helpful to see the relationship between the two. But what I wanted to express to all of you is that we're trying to build this in phases for a couple of reasons, which I'll get to in a minute. The Coastal Club at build-out is about 630 EDUs, mostly homes. And the first phase, as approved by the county, is for about 156 or 163, depending on how you look at some of the other amenities there. The proposal here today could also serve some failing systems that we talked and some other systems near the project that were brought up at the Planning and Zoning Commission. We have approval by DNRAC at the retreat to serve up to 326 homes. It now serves about 160 homes, so we have about double the capacity left at the retreat. Now, why are we proposing to do it this way? We're proposing to interconnect this way, as we do and other utilities do all over the country, all over the state, all over the county, which is to interconnect various facilities where we can regionalize where we can. Now, this is for temporary use at the developer's request, because this is a big project in Sussex County or elsewhere. As you know, a 600-unit subdivision doesn't start a lot these days anymore. So because of the physical location of the retreat and the capacity at the retreat, and the availability of capacity that also coincided with their first phase at the Coastal Club, their idea was to serve the first phase at the retreat to give the community some time to develop economically, and then at a certain period of time, and the number that is being drafted right now is about 90 homes. At about 90 homes, then we would have enough time to build that other force main and build the Wandendale plant that is about 3 miles away. So that's the concept. Again, the type of thing that we're talking about here is done all the time in the water business and done in wastewater, both by us, by the county, by other municipalities and other, to interconnect with force mains and pump stations. All the collection force mains and all the other facilities will be built to county and state specifications. When the developer pulls the trigger in our contract, we will start construction of the force main to Wandendale and the Wandendale wastewater treatment plant. So just to be clear, it is not expected nor anticipated that county service will be needed here. This is an interim measure to allow the economy to work to see if the houses sell at that pace of about 90 over the next 2 to 3 years. The wastewater treatment plant at the retreat, which is functioning, has been functioning for about 8 years. It is called an SBR, sequential batch reactor. It has two vessels. These vessels run in 6-hour cycles. We have operators that go there between 5 to 7 days a week. We have sludge treatment and storage, flow equalization. Distribution of treated effluent goes to about 10 disposal fields in the community itself, 5 of which are in use and alternated with others. We have spare capacity at the disposal field. The permit allows 48,800 gallon per day capacity. That has not changed. It will not change. What was done about a year ago through a permit amendment in July of 2012, a permit was amended that allows 165 more EDUs, now allowing up to 326 EDUs in that plant. The plant will not change. There won't be any reconstruction or anything else. It was done through a process that DNRAC allows, which is called re-rating. It's based upon flow, and in this case, the requirements are you take the previous 3 years, take the top 10% flow of any day and average that, and that's how they rate the capacity of the plant so that there's a conservative factor in there. And even with that, we will still have extra capacity. So the plant has capacity for 326. It serves about 160 now, so more than enough capacity to do this interim measure. The history of the wastewater treatment plant is that it's been in operation for about 8 years. There have been no violations, and the last DNRAC inspection was done in November of 2012. We have CPCNs, Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, issued by the state, by the Public Service Commission, for both the retreat and the Coastal Club, and for the Wannondale facilities that came through your body a couple of years ago. The CPCNs come with it an obligation to serve because it's required by law. So our responsibility as a regulated utility is to serve once we have the CPCN. The retreat CPCN was issued on September 20th in 2005 by a PSC docket. We acquired the wastewater system from Applied Water Management in December of 2004, and then the Coastal Club CPCN was issued on August 23rd, 2005 by a Public Service Commission docket. These CPCNs, as I mentioned, are valid and enforceable. They're state-issued. They can't be modified or revoked or changed without the permission and approval of the PSC. The status of the agreement with the developers and the landowners of the Coastal Club is as follows. The finishing touches of the agreement are being finalized and are being submitted to the developers, the landowners, and the parent company, Middlesex Water Company of Tidewater, for final approval, and that will happen shortly. The DNRAC has approved the operation of the and the construction operation of the retreat wastewater plant. It was issued first in November of 2005. The most recent amendment, as I mentioned, was in July of 2012. Construction permits will be needed for the collection system, the force main pump stations, and they will be obtained. Now, I mentioned the arrangement of Tidewater with its parent company, Middlesex Water Company. Middlesex Water Company is one of nine publicly traded wastewater companies in the United States of America. It's a regulated investor-owned utility. It's traded on the NASDAQ. It has it's the parent and sole shareholder of TESI and its other affiliates. The Middlesex Water Company has ready access to capital markets and a strong balance sheet. A letter written to me by the Chief Financial Officer and Vice President of Middlesex Water Company and the was issued on August 16th describing the relationship between the parent and the subsidiary. And with that document, you'll see the most recent last year, 2012, 10-K. It's a lengthy document. Suffice to say that Middlesex Equity Capital is valued at $188 million with a market value of greater than $300 million. And as president, I report directly to the CEO, president, and chairman of the board of Middlesex Water Company. Middlesex provides all of the debt and equity capital to TESI for utility service, just like they do to Tidewater utilities as well. Bottom line is we have a strong balance sheet and can finance and handle any project of this nature or anything larger. I want to address an issue that came up 2 weeks ago at the Public Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, and that is our ability to do these kinds of projects and our history. In fact, there's several projects in Sussex County where we were able to, with our expertise and available resources, to help out various communities, including the county. As you might recall, a few years ago, the Woods on Herring Creek had a failing wastewater system, and for 30 months under contract with the county, we were able to serve next door at our Bayfront facility while the county was building its Angola Sewer District plant. It worked out very well. Similarly, the Woodlands of Millsboro had a failing community system near Millsboro. During the period of time while the county was working with the city of Millsboro, town of Millsboro, to create a sewer district, we were able to operate, keep it in somewhat compliance with the state requirements and also to financially work with the Homeowners Association to keep them in play until the county was available. And about a year ago, through most of 2012, we entered into a contract with Sussex County to assist the startup of the new phase of the Inland Bays Wastewater Treatment Plant. We also have for 7 years been operating a failing system at the Gull Point community on the Indian River. We acquired about 6 years ago the troubled Milton Municipal Wastewater Plant. And just last week, we got approval from the Public Service Commission to acquire the wastewater assets at the Plantations community, where 620 homes are served by a private regulated utility. In summary, we have a company called White Marsh Environmental Services that is also a subsidiary of Tidewater. It uses all of Tidewater's 36 water and wastewater co-licensed operators in operating about 25 wastewater treatment plants in Delaware, New Jersey, and Maryland, including three struggling homeowners associations here in Delaware. The construction of this project would be based upon the demand of the developer. Right now, it appears that the schedule would be sometime in April of 14 through about summer of 14. There would be about 15 EDUs that would do what's called pumping and hauling while the force main was built to the retreat. And then sometime over the next 1 to 2 years, these homes would be served at the retreat. When we got to about the 90th home, and I say about because it is based not so much on a date certain as opposed to a build-out schedule, which is part of the final finishing touches we're putting on this agreement, at about the 90th home, we would have enough time, which is about 15 to 17 months, to construct the force main and the Wandedale treatment plant so that when you got to the 155th home, there would be capacity, force main would be built, we can go directly to the wastewater plant at Wandedale without having any startup problems. You'd have immediately 156 equivalent dwelling units of wastewater flow, so you wouldn't have any startup problem with a small volume at a wastewater plant. So that's, again, part of the beauty of having an interim plant on the force main route. We are also capable along that way, if the Wandedale plant is constructed and the Coastal Club is delayed for whatever reasons, the plant will be available and accessible because we will have a force main. And our obligation under the DNREC permit, which we achieved a couple of years ago, is that if there are any failing community systems nearby, if there are any individual septic systems that need connection, we can also serve them as well. And as you know, as your county has done a great job of servicing the Inland Bays area, if we have a wastewater plant that can serve them, we'll have capacity at the Wandedale plant to do that. The rates and charges and the developer's contributions at the present time are as follows. At the retreat, the connection fee is $7,850. The user fee established by the Public Service Commission tariff is $914. As proposed right now in the draft contract, the Coastal Club's connection fee would be about $8,700, and the user fee would be about $1,270 per year. The way this will work is that the developer pays for the vast majority minus some investment from TESI, and TESI will finance with a letter of credit secured by the and guaranteed by the developer. That's the way this financial package will work. Finally, what I wanted to talk about is the effect on the existing customers of the retreat. They're very important to us. They are both our water and wastewater customers. As was described by Mr. Pitko, we will be building a force main and bringing it into the first manhole within the community of the retreat. After that, there will be no disruption in the roads at the treatment plant, at the drain field. There will be no noticeable change at all at the treatment plant. There will be no change required at the treatment plant. We don't have to upgrade. It's still a 48,000 gallon per day treatment plant. It's just operating at half capacity. Operations might become actually more efficient, especially in the wintertime when the biological activity diminishes because we have lower flow and the temperatures are a little lower. So in the wintertime, believe it or not, we would actually welcome more wastewater flow. The drain fields and the wastewater plant are at half capacity. We still have spare capacity even at build-out. The retreat and the sewer customer rates are unique to the retreat, and they're relatively low compared to other TESI communities. Many of our other communities pay more than $1,000 a year. And if we add the customer revenue to this treatment plant for a year or three, it actually might forestall the need to upgrade the rates at the retreat. I have nothing further to add, but I'm available for questions later. Thank you.
You say if you do this, you would put off a rate increase for the people at the retreat for 3 years. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
What did you say about rate increase?
I said if the revenue it comes in at the rate that we anticipate, it might forestall the need to include the retreat in a global TESI rate filing that we had. When we did it last time, you might recall, there were some that were peeled off and some that were added. Originally, we didn't file for Milton. The Public Service Commission required us to add them. Each of our eight communities that we serve wastewater to has its own distinct rate, similar to your sanitary sewer district. Mm-hmm. If this one can withstand the need for a rate increase because it's unique and it has an additional revenue flow, we might peel that off of a general filing for the TESI wastewater case the next time. I can't
understand it, that would be good news for the retreat.
Could be good news. I can't commit to that because some of it is outside of our control, including what the Public Service Commission may require. In other words,
the additional service would be helpful to them. Is that what you're saying?
Operationally, financially. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Financially, it could. Mm-hmm. Again, the experience that we had in the wastewater rate case that we just filed or just settled was we originally filed to exclude Milton, and we tried to make that offer to the town, and the Public Service Commission required us to include Milton. Mm-hmm. They may do the same thing here, even if on its own it looked like the retreat was standing on its own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Do you have anything else, Mr. Schrader?
Let me just give you a couple of concluding remarks, Mr. Moore. I think that it's appropriate that you note that this is a regulated utility, that is TESI or Middlesex or White Marsh or any of the subsidiaries, are all regulated utilities that are regulated by the Public Service Commission, and they are all required to have a certificate of public convenience and necessity. And while the county is not required to do so, these private utilities are. And as such, it is the state law that these particular companies cannot operate without the certificate, and as they get the certificate, there is no customer choice within a particular area as to what utility you may or may not want to have, because once the certificate is granted by the Public Service Commission, it becomes exclusive as to that particular utility. In fact, there is no power in the part of any municipality or even the county government to void a certificate of public convenience and necessity, nor to override it. And I'll let Mr. Moore or Mr. Robertson or Mr. Rutt give you whatever advice you may require on that. But there was a relatively famous case out of the city of Seaford that dealt with that particular issue a few years ago. Similarly, the technical requirements as to any deleterious content of the discharge, the type of waste that may be collected and treated at the wastewater treatment plant at the retreat is regulated by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. That's why that plant is inspected. That's why it has to be rated. And that's why from time to time it's necessary for TESI to go back to DENREC and make sure that everything is in order. As noted in our booklet, there are no violations of anything at this particular plant. I would also point out to you that Mr. Esposito has described the fiscal responsibility of the Middlesex companies. I'm not sure what $188 million means to the county, but to me that seems like a lot of money, and if they have that kind of money as a net resource, which this profit and loss statement indicates that they do, they have the financial wherewithal to go ahead and complete this project. This particular application, at least as of the night of the planning and zoning hearing, and I assume it will remain true today, was not opposed by the homeowners of the retreat. They should not be impacted because the plant itself will not be expanded. There may be some monetary advantages to them, but those are unknown at this moment. The landowner of the property does support the application, and the landowner's representative is here and will probably speak later in the afternoon. And lastly, the application for the wastewater treatment plant at this particular location, when the retreat was created and when Coastal Club was created were not opposed by the County Engineering Department, and that policy continues. There is a statement from Rob Davis that was submitted with this particular application to Mr. Lank that describes the conditions that the County Engineering Department would impose on this application if you would favor it with approval, and that includes a design review by the engineer on the third floor to determine whether or not the plant and the collection system are compatible with the county engineering system, which is something that has been a policy in effect for some time. There are proposed findings of fact and conditions that are a part of the booklet. We give those to you as a matrix from which you may operate. You're not bound by those findings of fact, although, of course, I favor them. But I need three of you to favor them also. The conditions are those which you may reasonably impose on this application. Lastly, I would remind you that, again, this is a conditional use application for the extension of the collection service, not an expansion of the plant. And Mr. Plitko, Mr. Esposito, and I are all available to undertake any questions that you may have. I do have one last document I want to give you. And that is that we have a map here of all the certificated areas within the region that have been certificated to TESI for their collection mm-hmm. purposes.
Mm-hmm. You got one?
Mr. Moore, can we entertain any questions?
Are there any questions from anyone on council?
Mr. D, you have a question?
Yeah. I just want to get a couple of things you said, and I wasn't quite sure I asked. Fully understood. I was curious about TESI or Tidewater bought the plant from Applied Water Management. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. And they had a CPCN, did they? How did that work?
Let me see. The CPCN for the retreat was issued on September of 05, and we settled on December of 04. So uh-huh. The CPCN was issued after we bought the system.
So they didn't really have one, is what you're saying?
They did not have one at the time.
Okay. Is the retreat built out now?
No.
How many more homes?
It's close. I don't know the exact count.
All right. So it would still be within what your estimates here of
yes.
still having, you can still supply 166 homes or so.
Yes. Again, we're rated at 324, whatever
right.
number I gave you.
Okay, and I didn't quite get what was said about a letter of credit given by the developer. You mentioned it, so I'm going to ask you, what do you mean by that?
Okay, that's a good question. And one of the reasons that we haven't yet executed the agreement is because we actually, without getting into too much detail, there are three letters of credit as we have the contract drafted now. Mm-hmm. What that does is it, because we're financing most of the arrangement for this project, the developer has to pay us back at a certain rate mm-hmm. each year. Mm-hmm. If the homes don't build at that rate, we still need to be paid at that rate. Mm-hmm. The letter of credit guarantees that payback.
Okay. Well, that's in your favor then? That's for
yes.
For your benefit?
Yes.
It's so close to the creek, I'm going to have to ask you because it's not my field, certainly. Is there any chance that any of this will be detrimental to Love Creek? What kind of event would that happen if it did happen?
Okay, good question. I'm going to look to my right and make sure that I'm right when I say monitoring wells around the drain fields at the retreat. All of DNRC's requirements, including monitor wells around these disposal fields, are in play. We've been operating this plant for 8 years now, admittedly about half capacity. The monitor wells are there for a purpose, and they're traditionally put down gradient when you do a geohydrologic study so that the monitor well, which is on the site, as mm-hmm. opposed to a neighbor's well or to a creek or a tributary, would pick up any nitrate or other contamination. Mm-hmm. And for 8 years, there's been no contamination shown. So I'm trying to answer your question. There's virtually no chance that the creek could be contaminated before that monitor well would, by design.
You would pick that up first?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you would know about that immediately?
Groundwater travels,
if necessary. Mm-hmm.
Right. Groundwater travels very slowly, mm-hmm. which is very good news. So if the monitor well started to pick up a trend, it doesn't go from 0 to 10 parts per million overnight. If it started to pick up a trend, we would be required to do something about it. And again, the good news is if the trend happens and the well is between the Retreat and Love Creek, mm-hmm. we have a requirement and a responsibility to fix it. Mm-hmm. Not coincidentally, this is one reason why the Plantations was just acquired by Tidewater, because there was a monitor well that picked up nitrate from a leaking lagoon on the site of the Plantations.
I'm well aware of that.
Yes.
I think Ms. Deaver also not only is concerned about Love Creek, but you're also monitoring wells on the other sides of this wastewater treatment plant, so that
right.
if it were to be intrusive towards the residential portion, it would also be picked up?
Mm. Yes, yes. The permit is public record, and the monitor wells are on it, and we have data mm-hmm. that go back 8 years to show that there's really been no trends.
Do you have a backup system in case there's no electricity?
There's a generator
in the event of a storm. Okay. Treatment area, if it were to be hooked up to the Wannandale, would that treatment area be still used? Well, you wouldn't still use that, would you?
Yes, we would.
At the retreat, you
yes.
would?
Yes, we would. We would.
Is that a spray application?
No, it's, for lack of a better phrase, it's a large drain field that you uh-huh. have in a community septic system, but big, and it's valved out so that you have 10 drain fields, 5 of which are alternated, uh-huh. but it's underground. It's a trench right. disposal system like you have a septic system, only bigger, and it's forced through pressure, and it's there floats in an equalization tank mm-hmm. that then pulses it out, and then each drain field is dosed, and it's rested, and then the next one goes, and the next one goes. Mm-hmm. But we have, by permit requirement, we have spare capacity there so that if all 5 failed, we have room to replace all 5, which would virtually never happen.
Mm-hmm. And you don't see anything on the land at all?
No.
Okay.
But that capacity, that additional capacity you're using for this project, aren't you, Coastal? You're not going to have any additional capacity after you hook?
No.
You run the Coastal, right? You're running the Coastal's effluent to this drain field.
That's correct.
And you said it was built in additional capacity, and that won't get eaten up by the...
No. The spare capacity is required for the design, which is 48,300. So we still have to have spare to replace okay. all of that at 48,300. And remember, we're only at about 28,000 now.
And how far from the creek is the drain field? Question, I mean, roughly?
Close.
Do you know, Roy?
But and this drain field was never designed to be a regional drain
no.
field. It was designed just for that community.
It was designed for the community. That's why DNRC looks at a permit based on flow, regardless of from whence they come. And that's why we asked them, what is our capacity there? And then they upgraded it to 326. I don't have an answer for the distance. But
it's safe to say it's fairly close?
In my world, it's not close at all. My world is with some science about environmental discharge into groundwater. This is not a close discharge. It wasn't even a concern of mine, or I would have known the answer to your question.
Okay.
You have some wonderful aerial photos, but they don't show Love Creek, Ms. Beaver,
mm-hmm.
or Mr. Cole, or both mm-hmm. of you, but this is the field that Jerry was just speaking of. Love Creek is off this photo or off this map, depending on.
I think it's south and.
No, it's south side.
South side.
Love Creek is on Love. I mean, the retreat is on Love Creek. It's on it.
Yeah, it's at the bottom. Right?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't your Wannandale system be more effective than those drain fields? I mean, you could hook up. You'll still use those, huh?
Well, effective or cost efficient, depending on how you work.
Cost
they are both environmentally protective. They both meet the requirements of the DNREC. The reason that eventually this will go to Wannandale is because it's going to be more cost-effective to have 630 homes there, and certainly we don't have capacity here for 630 homes
mm-hmm.
at the retreat.
Well, there's not enough capacity there. I'm just saying, should it hook up to Wannandale, you would still use that.
Yes.
But only for the retreat?
Only for the retreat, because...
Only for the retreat, but not the Coastal Club.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay,
that's
that
correct.
Would be...
And mm-hmm. it, without, again, getting into too much... rate-making discussion, The reason that you keep the plant there is because that is a different cost center. To roll that into the costs of the Wannadale system means that people would have to pay again for something that's already been financed, not necessarily paid for.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, George, I didn't
interrupt. No, I'm sorry. No, I was just wondering, how does the county, on this picture you sent out, mm-hmm. how does the county system fit into this picture? Is the county system on anywhere on that? Right?
Not on that map. It's there. We didn't map that.
Okay, but
it's mappable.
None of this showing here is our system's not in any of that.
We're close.
Those are just CPCNs that the count
that you have.
Tidewater has.
That you have.
Remember,
right.
And the county doesn't need a CPCN. They are exempt from the CPCN laws for.
And I see these sites are all kind of scattered because that's how you do business, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's based on developer or individual demand.
And your CPNs and these territories, do they go beyond these blue areas?
We have others, yeah.
I mean, in this area, is there lands that are outside of these that you have got your CPNs?
Unless we missed it, there may be some individual parcels here and there, but those are the larger projects in that particular area. We have elsewhere throughout the county and throughout the state.
And when they give you the CP
CN.
CN, it's there's no time extension on anything. They're
that's
basically
correct.
Forever. I thought a couple years ago there was concerns about it. Didn't Senator Cordray have some legislation, or didn't it go anywhere? I can't remember, but I vaguely remember controversy about these water districts.
It was for water districts.
And people didn't even realize they were in them. They had been granted these
yes.
territories.
Yeah, it was for water, and it was for areas outside of communities,
right.
outside of towns,
right.
where they called them growth areas, and there were some restrictions. So the law that changed on water, not wastewater, allowed for a town to have right of first refusal, basically, outside of a town, so that they would trump a private entity if we couldn't serve. And the way it works, Councilman, is a CPCN is forever unless some other alternative comes and the parties agree to relinquish the CPCN.
Right,
and that's happened. We've bought and we've sold CPCNs depending on
not to the county, but back and forth between each other.
Ocean View acquired our water CPCN as an example. We've sold a CPCN, several CPCNs to the Camden, Wyoming Sewer and Water Authority because they had a pipe right there and we didn't. So we traded. City of Dover, we're a customer there. Those kinds of things happen, not frequently, but mm-hmm. relatively regularly, and there's a process in place, and it's done through compensation and a process that's ultimately approved by the Public Service Commission.
All right.
You traded with no investment, only having somebody's signature, that's correct?
They get it for free. They get the CPN for free.
They got it originally free, and then then that puts these people in a bargain position, or puts you in a bargain position to sell or trade back and make a profit on that. Is that correct?
Well, first of all,
is that what I'm understanding here?
Well, I'm not. I think I understand your question, but a CPCN for water or wastewater. One other thing that changed by Senator Cordray many years ago was on the water side of the business, and the way it's done throughout the country. Delaware is fairly unique. There are wide area franchises are given throughout the country for water and wastewater utilities. Delaware is fairly unique, maybe the only one on the East Coast that does it where it's parcel by parcel. So you can get like Comcast or Delmarva have wide area franchises so you can do planning. We don't do it that way anymore. Law changed, now it's parcel by parcel. When we sign a petition subject to the PSC's approval for a franchise, for a CPCN, it is done without compensation. For these particular projects, typically a developer will not sign a petition for a CPCN until the terms of the wastewater service agreement
right,
are worked out.
Let me go ahead further with this. Say you come to my area and you want me to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the impression that you people are going to Tidewater soon going to put this through my area. But I find out 10 years later, you're still the same place you was 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you really done nothing. And here comes a town out in my area, and they said, we're ready to take you in.
Right.
That leaves you in a position to sell them the rights,
which
you already acquired from me for free.
Your hypothetical is that the utility is not able to serve at that point.
Wait, say that again?
I understood the hypothetical to be that the utility is not prepared to serve at that point, correct?
That's correct. Well, they haven't done it, so I assume they're not going to do it, or going to do it maybe another 10 years. Who knows?
Right. Well, it's akin to, not the same as, a planning area that a county or a city would have where we're trying to establish. We don't have wide area franchises. We can't do a planning study like counties allow because the law exempted them. So we try to amass, to get a critical mass of franchises. If in the case that you just described, if we were unable to serve and someone else were to serve, then we would negotiate to not serve. And the agreement for compensation is case by case. It may be for virtually nothing. It may be for some, it may have more value, and it's subject to negotiation. And it has to be ratified by the PSC ultimately.
I understand the compensation, but I somewhat understand the compensation, but I joined free because I thought, you know, this is a deal. I want to get on this wastewater deal. Still 10 years later, you haven't come through yet. Later on, you're going to negotiate with somebody else is going to supply this.
Sam, you're implying like you as a property owner.
Yeah. As a property owner.
Right. You say, okay, I want to get whatever they're selling because then it'll give you the ability to sell your land get more valuable.
Well,
then, but then nothing happens in 10 years, so nothing really has helped you.
I am living there.
Right.
And I say my system is getting old. And these guys, Tidewater comes along and says, we're going to put septic through here or sewer system.
Okay, right, right, okay.
So I join in. 10 years later, I still haven't got it. But I was a little bit under false pretense, you might say, because I joined quickly because I thought, man, this is great. Not only that, I know another piece of land down here. I might develop it. And here comes the county sewer and not put anything in, and you're the worst one going to come along and put us in business. 10 years later, you haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. So you got me to sign on for free. Here comes along the county later, wants to put in a sewer system, and you say, we'll let you do it, but you're going to compensate us. That just doesn't hardly ring a...
Or it just makes it awkward for you as the individual to get some service because you now you got two people fighting over
sure.
you,
and
they've got to negotiate out before you can get anything.
It's going to also make my sewer system cost a little more because the county's got to buy into this or whoever buys into this, which wouldn't have had to buy into it to start with. If it's just open ground.
But that's the weakness of the CPCNs, I guess, because they're open-ended, they don't expire, and they're not based on not being able to provide service.
There is
it's safe to say everything's market-driven, right, with given service.
Right, but there is a difference, Mr. Wilson.
Okay, what's the difference?
The difference is we do have an operating wastewater treatment plant in this area, and we are prepared to connect the 163 or 165.
If you're listening, what I said, I didn't say that you didn't have in that area.
Right. I'm just
talking about CPNs. I'm just talking about.
He's mad at CPNs.
Well, I don't blame him, and I'm gonna give him a reason to be mad too, because I know what you and I remember Satterfield and Wilkinson, the water companies. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean, they had. I believe it was Wilkinson that had the CPCN for everything on the other side of Route 14, Route 1. From Milford to Lewis, and Satterfield had practically everything on Longneck, Millsboro, and they were small companies that were very difficult to get connections for from, and they had those CPCNs going back to probably the beginning of the law requiring CPCNs for water. There's also another curiosity in all this, and we're diverted for just a minute. The county is required to have a CPCN, and I remember in Dewey Beach we had to get a CPCN for 7 lots next to what's the name of that lake down there, Mike?
Silver Lake.
Because if there was a gap in the certificates.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm for free enterprise system, but then again, I'm also if you're the private sector certainly has this right. I have no problem with that. The problem I have, somehow, I got took up this 10-year deal that I'm stuck in, and which I'm not, but this is hypothetical. And by the way, it was offered to me, and I didn't bite into it because I thought I said, my wife, I said, hey, there's no line here saying when they're going to come. They may be 10 years, 20 years. They're kind of, I'm sort of look like I'm going to be hoodwinked here a little bit if you want. Use old farmer's expression, and I didn't buy it. But this is the problem I'm having with these CPNs. I think they're a little bit disingenuous. I think they really are. That's just my opinion.
Well, I same boat, it seems, and although we didn't intend to develop, it was just something that didn't get the attention that we probably should have given it at the time, and I guess since we didn't reply, it automatically put us in.
Reply to what, Mr. Phillips?
To the letter we got from one of the utilities, and since we didn't reply, we got put in to...
I think that law had been changed, that there had been a law where utilities were sending letters to individuals. If you didn't reply, you got in. Where that's been changed, now you have specifically signed requesting that you want in.
Did that law let me out?
I'm unaware of that, Mr. Phillips, but in regards to this project here, we need to ask specific questions about this project. Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions concerning this project?
I do.
Yes.
So with a CPCN, like you got here, there is no time frame on when you have to serve somebody?
No. Not directly, no.
So you could just sign me up, and I could be there for 50 years, never get service. Potentially.
Yeah, potentially, sure. But again, I talked about the law of the state of Delaware, which is unique. Water franchises have been around for 40 years. We have communities that are smack in the middle of our wide area water franchise outside of Rehoboth, Lewis, for example, that have individual wells. They're still in a CPCN of Tidewater, but they still provide their own water. It's just the way the law of the state of Delaware is written.
How long have you had the approval for the Wallendale facility?
The county's approval was about, I'll say, 2.5 years ago, and the state's approval was also about 2 years ago, permit, construction permit.
Have you built anything there? Is there any construction there, anything
no.
going on there?
No.
That was being litigated, Mr. Vincent. There was an appeal taken to the Coastal Zone Board, and then it went to the Delaware Supreme Court, and Delaware Supreme Court sent the case back with instructions to the Coastal Zone Board. So the litigation may now be over, and the Coastal Zoning Board may now give the final approval for it to go forward.
Oh, it's not over.
Say again, please.
It's not over.
Litigation or the permitting?
Uh-huh, litigation.
The litigation is over. It's now back before the Coastal Zone Board for final approval. I'm not the attorney in that particular case, although I do follow it with interest.
I thought it was clear. Interest. I didn't know that.
We currently have a conditional use for the Wallendale plant, and I believe we still have 3 years from the date of final approval from Coastal Zone before that goes into effect.
And we have a Coastal Zone Act permit, and we have a DNRC construction permit. None of that got changed by the mm-hmm. litigation, which has been remanded.
So as soon as the litigation, as soon as whoever says you can build it, you're going to start?
Yeah, the litigation, I said to Planning and Zoning, there is no reason other than the developer demand that we're not building Wallendale right now. Mm-hmm. Coastal Club is the first. There are other projects that we're talking to. This is the first. Our intent is to build Wallendale as soon as we have the critical mass to build it. The first phase of Wallendale will be about 75,000 gallon per day treatment plant. We'll have capacity there that can expand.
But if you don't get the critical mass to build it, you'll never build it.
We don't get the critical mass, we'll never build it.
Probably right.
So if you don't get enough, I mean, I'm just thinking a while ago, you said something about in this project, there's the 90 homes
yes.
going to kick something in.
Yes, sir.
So 90 homes is always going to take for you to build Wallendale.
In this particular application, yes. But while we're doing this, we're talking to other developers at the same time.
And if you don't get those developers?
Like any other, we're not going to build it without a customer, if that's what you're asking.
Right.
We're not going to build it without a customer. I can't tell you whether it's a 75,000 gallon day plant or 2 years from now, you know, some new engineering process that says we can build it at 45,000 gallons a day.
And you talked about your impact fees and connection fees.
Yes, sir.
Which sitting to me just seemed awful high, but how do you compare to county numbers?
Each district is different. User fees, you know, just from memory, in the West Rehoboth district are, depending on your front footage, because you do it differently than we do a flat rate every year. User rates in the West Rehoboth district are about in that ballpark. I said $900 in change for the retreat, about $1,200 for Coastal Club. Depending on where you are in the West Rehoboth district, you may pay the same. The impact fees in the West Rehoboth as the West Rehoboth district exists now are probably less than what I quoted you?
I mean, just like I say, it seemed like it's the numbers are higher than what I keep hearing our people report to us. I don't know.
We are, remember, we're doing it with private financing only.
But there's also a disparity between your own districts, Mr. Vincent, because it depends upon the time of construction of the wastewater treatment facility and the capital improvements. If you build I can't think of the oldest plant or collection system, it may be either Fenwick or Blades, but those were built in the 70s, and the cost of a project in the 70s compared to what it would have been with the West Rehoboth expansion would have been dramatically different. And so when you do your annual rates for your budget purposes each June, that's why you have a disparity between each of your various expansion districts or your original districts, because of the timing of the costs. In order for Mr. Esposito to be able to say that his costs compared to West Rehoboth, keep in the back of your mind that we're talking probably a 20-year difference, well, 15-year difference in terms of the time of construction and what those costs would be. And that affects that also.
Mr. Rizzo, do you have to get your information in for what the last ones we just did?
If you want to think about our angle.
Could you come to the podium, please, and identify yourself?
Angola Neck was just recent, correct?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say we brought Angola on, I think, 2011.
Okay.
A couple of years.
Well, what are our fees there?
Our fees there, the connection fee is $3,724, and the average user fee is somewhere around $900 a year.
How did federal grants affect those numbers?
We were benefited by the federal grant programs.
Could you do a quick calculation and maybe
tell you what the total project cost was? I'm going to say Angola was about $24 million, and we probably had $4 or $5 million in grants.
So really only about 20% of the project.
Correct.
So you could theoretically say without those grants, those numbers would be 20% higher.
In other words, $4 would be $5.
Roughly.
At 38, yeah.
Correct.
Would be
some of those people didn't have to pay hookup fees at all. Is that?
We were able to. That's true. One thing we did do in Angola, we were able to roll the connection fees into the annual fee, the $900 fee that I referenced.
Right.
It's safe to say our rates are across the board are a little more reasonable.
And we're flat, too. We generally don't go up. And in effect, we extinguished some of our rates during this past year, like Dewey Beach and Henlopen Acres, for example. And South Bethany, I believe, is now down to zero as far as the front footage, which is the mortgage on the pipe. They still pay the service charge of about $280 a year. So once the debt was paid off, you know, their rate went to zero.
Right. If we were to have an area that we were going to try to serve, whatever it was, there was no CPC in there, it was ours, I guess, and we couldn't serve it, was there any time frame we used to let someone else serve it? Or
We have the ordinance in place that has an actual reference to 5 years.
5 years. So we do have something we live within. Where the private side, they get something that's there for 400 years.
When it comes to this CPCN issue, yeah, it's problematic. The perpetuity of the CPCN is troubling to some people.
I would think. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Any other questions?
I have one more question.
Of who?
Mr. Esposito. Oh, okay. The retreat is supplied with that, like a regional system, right? It's what you call a regional system.
We call it a community wastewater
system. Yes. Had Wannondale existed at that time, is that the kind of system they would have had?
If Wannondale existed, we would have connected it to Wannondale, probably.
So that would have been treated at the Wannondale, sure. not on their property.
That's right.
Okay. Jessica, thank you. That's all I need.
Thank you. If there are no other questions from counsel, do you have any more witnesses, Mr. Schrader?
No, Mr. Moore.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of this application? I see someone coming up now.
Decide who goes first. My name is Blake Thompson. I live at Three Lake Avenue in Rehoboth, and I'm here on behalf of Ocean Edge LLC and my partner, Preston Schell. We have the Coastal Club project under contract with every intention of moving forward with the development plans following our scheduled settlement with the applicant, Coastal Lenders LLC, at the end of next month. We ask that the members of council look favorably upon the applicant's conditional use permit request so that this project can move forward in a timely and uninterrupted fashion. As you've heard, well, actually, you haven't heard yet because we're kind of out of order, but we have our agreements with our builders in place, and we have three builders, two of which I believe are here today, and they're in place, and they're very capable companies, and we're all very anxious to get started on the project. As you know, families planning to relocate to Sussex County from affluent urban areas expect to find upscale developments like the Coastal Club to purchase their homes in. They appreciate developments that feature large amounts of open space and abundant walking trails for exercising and viewing nature, as well as superior clubhouse amenities, most of which have been budgeted for the initial phase of our project. Our future homeowners will not only help support the construction industry rebound here in Sussex County, but will quickly translate into mostly year-round consumers with demand for goods and services offered by our local businesses. We believe the time is right for our well-situated Lewis project and are here once again to ask the members of council to support granting the applicant's permit so the Coastal Club can move forward in the most expeditious manner possible. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I think a couple of the builders would like to follow up with from what I had to say.
Yeah, but let me ask a quick question. Okay. You bought the, you're buying the project, and they have the CPCN.
That's correct.
But because, in other words, you just need sewer service. You don't
That's
really
correct.
Care
That's
where
correct.
It comes from, but because they have the CPCN, that's who you have to negotiate with.
That is correct.
At this point.
Yes,
and
sir.
For them to do it, they've said, we can do it, but we got to go over here to dispose
well, no,
of it.
The retreat at the Love Creek, the conditional use permit would allow us to start the project
right,
faster.
Take that, right.
And hopefully it would allow us to continue with the project without a hitch in the timing. If the conditional use permit were denied, then we would go directly to Wannendale. And that, as we project, would give us a six-month hole that we would just have to stop building houses based on our projections. And we would run the risk of losing momentum. So that's why the condition, from our point of view, the developer's point of view, that the conditional use permit is so important. I don't know if that answers your question, George.
Okay, and how much infrastructure, how much site work has been done at the Coastal Club? Has anything been done there yet?
No.
Nothing's been, no ground's been turned up?
No, but I mean, all the plans have been
just
finished
plans,
and
we're, the planning stage.
We're ready to roll.
Okay. Any other questions? If there are not, is there, thank you, Mr. Thompson. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
I'm Chris Schell, not the other one that you probably expected to see.
Your evil twin brother.
Yeah. he's actually on vacation, 2-week vacation. Some of us work, but I guess you need my address.
Yes, please.
35972 Goshawk Court in Lewis. I'm speaking on behalf of Schell Brothers, the builder, so I do not have any interest in the development entity. And actually, I'll speak, I think I can speak for all builders because we all have the same issue. The market was bad for a long time. It's finally getting better, and our problems have sort of reversed. Now we're running out of lots to develop. We've sold out of Retreat. We've sold out of Lewis Landing, which is right up here. We're almost sold out of, the Ridings, which is down here. Even though I'm sure you guys see a bunch of projects that are in planning and stuff like that, the truth is very few projects actually have the wherewithal to move forward because there's very few, well, there are no banks doing the kind of financing they were doing 10 years ago, which is probably a really good thing, but it makes it significantly harder to actually put the pieces of the puzzle together that you need to start a project. This project is ready to go. My organization has staffed up to prepare for the rebound. I know that NVR has the same issues we have. We're literally running out of lots. The market's getting better, but if there's no lots to sell, you really can't do anything with it. So my brother actually told me earlier this week, hey, we may have a problem with Coastal Club. There's a sewer issue. He tried to describe it to me. I agree, based upon what I've heard from you all and what I've heard from my brother, that this CPCN thing is not a perfect system. But as I understand it, without this conditional use, this project really can't move forward. Because the CPCN, as flawed as it may be, it's signed, it's a legal document, it's supported by whatever state agencies needed to have supported it in the past. So I agree that should be fixed. I just am hoping that we don't hold this project hostage in an attempt to fix it. Mm. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Did I understand? Well, I'm glad that you're planning to do that, or your brother's planning to do that. Sounds wonderful. I think I heard that there would be a temporary kind of facility for those homes as they get built and that would be pumped out. Yeah. Did I hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
I can answer
that.
Was
it like a cesspool kind of a thing?
No. It's basically just like a big tank.
Uh-huh.
And so, you pump the sewage into the tank, and then it gets periodically emptied. So
until the line is hooked up.
Until the line is put in place. And you can only do that for, I think, up to 50 houses or less?
Okay.
50 houses.
Okay.
So it's not like you can do it forever.
Yeah, okay.
And it's expensive. It's not cheap.
A tanker truck comes in, takes it in a tanker truck, takes it down the road.
Just make sure I understood that.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure. Thank you.
The technical term is pump and dump.
Jerry, where will it go?
The waste hauler has a responsibility to bring it to a licensed treatment plant, probably come to one of your county plants.
Mm-hmm. How long will it take you to build this pipe over there?
Well, if we were to do what Chris said, which is to just build it, you know, forget the retreat, it's 4 months to design, finish designing the force main pump station, and another 15 months is what we've allowed for construction. To Wandedale and the plant. Coastal Club to the retreat, 4 months for the force main.
And from retreat to Wandedale?
15 months.
And when that happens, you'll abandon the drain field at retreat?
No. I said to Ms. Deaver, we'll keep that for the 160 some homes that were there that were originally designed for. We will keep that.
Because the county, when we put in sewer systems, we've been eliminating drain fields, and my understanding, eliminating drain fields is better than keeping it. Is there any way that your company can show me that somehow we're going to be eliminating some of these drain fields as we get these central systems?
That's
the charm of the county system. We've eliminated, and we brag about it. How many we've eliminated?
Sir. I'm very familiar with it. I used to regulate these systems. The ones that needed to be eliminated have been eliminated by you or us over time. Our systems meet all standards. The ones that were eliminated didn't meet standards. This system here is as good. It has a 20-plus year life on its drain field. That's why you have a spare disposal field. There's no reason to eliminate it, and financially, it would be difficult for the owners to pay again for another connection.
Okay, I remember that.
And they know that in advance as well.
Yeah,
they knew
well,
that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the buyer beware. There's conditions and covenants and deeds and restrictions.
Okay.
When you buy a lot in the retreat, it's disclosed that Tidewater is the provider and an impact fee is paid. And by the way, we've taken, I can't remember whether the retreat has taken advantage of it, the homeowners there, but we've allowed homeowners to come visit our plants, see how we operate. We are very proud of our operations, just like you have operators of the year. We've had 9 water, wastewater operators of the year.
I like to take your tours. I take your tours, too. Yep.
And one more point on the pumping and hauling. One of the advantages here on doing it this way is that the pumping and hauling is minimized here. And when you get to that 90th unit, remember what we were talking about? Other than the pumping and hauling for the first few months when the force main is built to the retreat for maybe the 15 or 20 homes, once the trigger is pulled after 90, there will be no pumping and hauling anymore. It'll go right to the treatment plant because we'll have the critical mass to operate the plant from the beginning. That's unusual in a startup plant.
If we just come one question.
Sure.
How you would know, Mr. Izzo, you would know this. How close to where this is any county sewer at all? Is it way off somewhere? Or?
I'll say within a mile.
Within a mile?
For the Coastal Club.
Really? Did the developer ever talk to you about that? Like, go with the county or something or anything like that?
They can't because they...
Did they ever ask the question?
Oh, okay. You're asking me.
About, could they come with the county versus
yes.
you or vice
yes.
whatever?
Yes. Yes, they did.
And I assume your answer must have been no, that's why you're here.
Well...
We got the CPCN.
Right. We want to serve it. It was part of the approval on Wanadale. We listed the Coastal Club as part of the Wanadale application. The county didn't object. The original developers didn't object. It was the plan. You know, in my mind, there was a plan laid out. The reason that Wanadale isn't built, the reason the Coastal Club isn't in existence and served at Wanadale is because of the economy. Otherwise, it would be in existence right now.
Okay.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application?
Indeed. I am Mark Somerville. I live at 31808 Waples Street in Dagsboro, Delaware, and I'm here representing Beezer Homes. Stand in for Mr. Edward Gold, the division president, basically to ask for support of the conditional use for the subdivision for the very same reasons as have been represented. Time is of the essence in our industry. It's been a little challenging these last few years. Delays have really gotten us nowhere as a county in terms of subdivisions appearing blighted when they start to lose momentum, things of that nature. So really, I just want to express support for the conditional use.
And the name of your company?
Beezer Homes.
Beezer, oh, okay, sure. Thank you.
Okay.
You said
thank you.
Deaver Homes?
I thought you said Deaver.
Yes.
Deaver Homes. No
Beaver. Is there anyone else like to speak?
Mr. President, members of council, Chase Brockstead. Every time that I see Mr. Schell, I'm reminded that it's better to be a builder than a lawyer based on his outfit. We're here today to support Ty Waters' application. I represent the owner of Coastal Club. My client is the seller of the property, and settlement cannot occur without resolving this issue. However, based on what I've heard at the planning and zoning hearing and also today, approval of this application is also in the best interest of the county. At the P&Z hearing, the developer testified that he would prefer the Coastal Club to be served by the county, to answer your last question. Since the county is not ready to serve this area, this proposal provides the opportunity to get the project off the ground. It also provides the county with the time to decide if it intends to extend into this area. Having Coastal Club get off the ground and become a viable development may impact the county's decision-making process in a positive way. This is consistent with the comprehensive plan as it promotes county-operated sewer treatment services. Further, the permit is for a limited period of time. It encourages Tidewater to cooperate with the county. And finally, as you heard today, this development will bring new jobs to Sussex County. I'm hopeful that the county will review this application on its merits and not based on the problems that have become that have come into light regarding the CPNC process or problems that are widespread within the county. It appears some of these issues need to be addressed. They need to be addressed soon. However, my client and the contract buyer are willing to abide by the rules and the laws as they exist today and hope that you will pass this application.
I have a question.
Sure.
Who will be following through on the agreement or requirements to provide, I think it's sidewalk and sewer for Jimtown? There's something to do with Jimtown that the Coastal Club is obligated to do. How is that? Is that your group is going to do it or the new ones? Or
no, my group is just selling the
you're
property
finished.
To the developer.
Uh-huh.
That may be a better question for Mr. Esposito
it, sure.
or the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the new developer's responsible.
So you will be?
Yes.
New developer will be doing that?
Sorry.
It's a condition of the...
Condition, yes.
It's a condition of the approval of the project itself when it originally...
Exactly. Fine. Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, you had a question?
I may have misunderstood your... because it's a little hard hearing.
Sure.
Did you say the county wasn't ready to serve this area? Is that what you said in your comment there?
That's correct. Okay. I mean, I think that the developer, as he testified at the P&Z hearing, was that he would prefer to have the county provide wastewater to the Coastal Club, but the county's not ready yet. Now, how that relates to the CPCN and the requirement to go to Tidewater, I don't know the answer to that.
There's no way we can provide sewer because they've got the CPCN. So the county really...
I don't think that would be a true statement, do you?
What's that? The county can supply sewer around the area that's not in their CPN, but we can't. Mr. Esposito controls that, right?
That is correct.
True statement is that, and again, I don't represent the developer, but I think he testified pretty clearly before P&Z that the county would be his preference.
Right, but we're just not in the picture.
But you sort of implied that the county is not ready to do it. I think the county would be ready to do it if we were allowed to do that. I think, and that's a play on words, but I think you had a little play on words there,
that
too.
That perception is probably could be correct, right?
There you go.
Mr. Wilson, I mean, let me just make my position crystal clear. I represent the current owner of the property. Our interest is in selling it, and this issue's got to be resolved before that settlement can take place.
Right.
Well, I want to just keep it for sure what's right and what's wrong. Okay.
And I don't represent the successor developer, but the conditions of the approval of Coastal Club as it came out of this body and the Planning and Zoning Commission was with a private wastewater treatment plant. That issue has been before you, and you have decided that that was appropriate. Now, times have changed. Mr. Izzo's ability to serve the area is at least 1 mile away. I thought I understood him saying the certificate of public convenience and necessity would have been acquired on the strength of the approvals that you all gave.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Sir?